Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle, and what a jam-packed hour it is going to be all across the Sports Grid Radio Network, live right here on FFC. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Scott, when we went live yesterday on a Monday afternoon at noon Eastern time, it officially began the legal tampering window for the National Football League. The free agency frenzy in the flurry of news and signing that then ensued over the next 4 hours, but now deep into 24 hours in this free agency market around the National Football League is enough to make one head spin. But we will focus on everything here that has happened in the last day in the NFL, what it means for the outlook and how it shapes the landscape of the National Football League into the 2024 season.
Does make you wonder, right? How are all these deals all done, right? They're not supposed to talk. They're not supposed to do anything, Ben, before yesterday. And yet somehow or another, we got about 25 deals done. And a lot of these deals were done yesterday afternoon, right? So what would they call 12:01, Monday morning? And we're able to negotiate deals with all the other teams and all the agents. You know, we'll just say Saquon Barkley. You know, that agent talked to 10 other teams all somehow or another before yesterday afternoon, before settling in on Philadelphia. Does make you wonder about whether they really keep to those rules, right?
Yeah, there's the legal tampering window, and then there might be what is deemed the illegal tampering window, that when an NFL season ends and you get through the first few weeks of the early offseason calendar, and I would say after the combine in Indianapolis, maybe the past 48, 72, 96 hours over the weekend, the burner phones for agents and representation around the National Football League on players' behalf, they were burning pretty much right up as front offices around the NFL were calling, but you can't trace those, so we will never truly know. I think we all have an idea of how that all plays out. I believe the league office and the National Football League has an idea as well. Let's make sure we welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience on Sirius XM channel 159. That is the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. You can consider this next hour live right here on FFC a free agency roundup of the frenzy that has happened in the last 24 hours. So Scott Lisi was here yesterday alongside myself. A few of the breaking news that we had in that first hour of the legal tampering window. Some of the running backs started to go off the board. Tony Pollard signed his 3-year, $24 million deal with Tennessee. Both Lisi and I found that to be peculiar. DeAndre Swift, the 3-year, $24 million deal with north of $15 million guaranteed to join the Chicago Bears. The big news of the day, though, Scott, we weren't really live for. That includes Kirk Cousins, the new starting quarterback in Atlanta, Saquon Barkley signing with the Philadelphia Eagles, remaining in the NFC East, but switching homes of the divisional rivals, leaving New York and going down to the city of brotherly love in the big trade the G-men orchestrated yesterday as well. From the Carolina Panthers acquiring Brian Burns and then paying him a 5-year, $150 million long-term contract extension. Scott, of course, as it is in the National Football League, at the most important position, we start with the quarterback. Kirk Cousins, four-year deal, $180 million, $90 million guaranteed over the first 2 years. An injury clause would add on an additional $10 million in his third season. That's $100 million guaranteed for Kirk Cousins to become the new starting quarterback of this Falcons franchise. What grade, Scott, would you give the move for the Birds?
Listen, it's better than what they've had, right? We talked a little bit about it last week. You know, they haven't been able to do anything, whether it's through the draft or whether it's with the Taylor Heinekes of the world. So that they went for the home run. We could have the debate on whether Kirk Cousins is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He certainly is an upgrade. Boys in Vegas dropped their odds from 40-1 to 30-1 with the news yesterday. So they clearly think they're a much better football team, and they are probably the odds-on favorite now in that division. So I like it. The only thing, you know, a couple concerns. One, it's Kirk Cousins, right? So you always got to wonder about that. Two, he is 35, 36 years old, coming off an Achilles injury. That's got to be a concern. And then three, I'm not a big fan of Ben, guys going back home. And the case for him, it would be his wife. There's so many distractions. I could give you an arm's list long of examples of players going back home and going back to family or going back to this and just not working out because you have too many distractions and too many distractions. So it's good, great. Knock yourself out. Obviously, this eliminates them from go getting Justin Fields, which we'll talk about here in a little, no doubt. But, you know, I'll give it an 8. You know, you got to upgrade. There's not that many Patrick Mahomes out there. So if you keep on waiting for that home run, grand slam, you know, take the two-run homer versus the grand slam and be happy. And maybe you get something done.
Yeah, completely agree. I would give it an A as well. For both Kirk Cousins, it might be an A++. He will now make over $400 million in his National Football League career. And for the Falcons, an A as well. So much talent around the quarterback spot offensively for Atlanta under the new regime that is Raheem Morris, bringing over Zach Robinson, a young and talented offensive mind under Sean McVay in L.A. with the Rams, worked as the quarterback coach for the last few seasons, obviously has that relationship with Raheem Morris, who was the DC in Los Angeles for the past three NFL seasons. You would think this offense is about to explode because there's Drake London, there's Bijan Robinson. Can Kyle Pitts finally be unlocked with a steady quarterback presence? The news just a couple of minutes ago as it keeps on flowing. Darnell Mooney, who was with the Bears, signing a three-year, $39 million deal to head to Atlanta and join the Falcons as well. So much offensive potential, and that will really lead the way for the Falcons. Now, for Kirk Cousins, Scott, there is a lot that is said about Kirk Cousins and his ceiling. Is he a Super Bowl winning quarterback? Can he bring a team to its highest potential to reach a conference championship game and be a true contender? I am not going to say that Kirk Cousins make the Atlanta Falcons an NFC frontrunner. I'm not going to say I expect the Falcons to go deep into a postseason and contend for a Lombardi trophy. But I do believe, obviously, it is a huge upgrade at the quarterback spot from Taylor Heinicke and Desmond Ridder. And I do believe in a agree with where the odds movement has gone for the Falcons in the NFC South. They were listed as the favorites when this market opened less than 2 weeks ago. Scott, you and I discussed the gap, a dollar gap between Atlanta and the reigning NFC South divisional champs in the Buccaneers. And even after the Bucs signed Baker Mayfield, that dollar gap remained. It was a plus 130 price for the Falcons at this time yesterday before the signing of Kirk Cousins. It's now into minus money, an odds on favorite in Atlanta, the Falcons minus 110 to win the NFC South. That is where Kirk Cousins brings you. And if you're going to get into the dance and you're going to host a playoff game, we saw the Bucs do the same. They reached the divisional round a season ago. I believe in what the odds have to say about this Falcons team in 2024.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Ben, we're talking about a guy that's borderline Hall of Famer, you know, and that may be like, no way, Scott, come on. Listen, if you look at his numbers, he's 24th all-time in passing yards. He's 20th all-time in passing touchdowns. He's 8th in career passer rating of all time. And clearly, he's got a few more years to go, right? So he's certainly an upgrade. You know, you just don't ask him to score 30 points a game. That's the Falcons' goal right now. Score 20 points a game and win.
We'll talk more about Kirk Cousins' resume. We'll talk about the outlook, and then we'll continue to go around the big moves yesterday as free agency has now gotten started in the National Football League. Plenty more to come in this hour up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, the NFL free agency frenzy on FFC continues for the next 48 minutes, and we need every minute. We might need every second. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. So, the Atlanta Falcons, Scott, add Kirk Cousins as their new starting quarterback. They are an odds-on favorite to win the NFC South. A lot of people will point to Kirk Cousins' resume. A lot will bring up what has been a long-standing narrative around the National Football League. The guy does not perform at his best when the lights shine brightest in primetime. The guy has played 12 NFL seasons. He has won just a single playoff game. All of that is true. All of that is warranted. And I don't really know if the ceiling is much beyond that for the Dirty Birds in 2024. But again, to win the division as the odds-on favorites, I agree. If you win a division in the National Football League, you are guaranteed at least one home playoff game. And if you're a part of the dance, you never know what can happen. And I believe adding Kirk Cousins makes Atlanta the true and outright favorite to win the NFC South divisional crown.
Yeah, now those odds are justified. You know, the boys in Vegas once again knew, you know, before everyone else. It's funny they didn't give us like monster odds with the Super Bowl odds, but they gave me the crazy odds before yesterday with them to win the division. So, yeah, now, listen, it's kind of weird, right? I mean, it's not a great division, Ben. It's not. But I will say this about that division. It is balanced. Like, I don't know why I just can't get off the New Orleans Saints bandwagon after suffering all last year with them, and really even 2 years ago. I still think on paper they may have the most talent. But, you know, they're going to be pretty good. Tampa Bay won the division. They brought all their guys back, including Baker Mayfield, so that they should be pretty good. And now you got Atlanta. You know, is it Philadelphia, Dallas, and maybe one other team? Or is it the AFC North? No, but it's actually a halfway decent division now. And you got to put Atlanta right there. And now, really, there are no more excuses, right, for the Atlanta Falcons. No more, okay, Matt Ryan's too old. No more Taylor Heineke can't get it done, or Desmond Ridder isn't the guy. You know, more the head coach, Arthur Smith is you know, not a good head coach. There's no more excuses for this Falcons team to listen. I would even go so far as to say if they don't get to at least the second round of the postseason, it would be a disappointment for them. They got to perform now. You're not going to pay a quarterback, right? $45 million just to make the playoffs. Right. You expect to do some damage.
Absolutely so. The other big signing on Monday afternoon, Saquon Barkley, surprising a lot of people, not because he's not a New York Giant anymore, but his eventual destination. That remains in the NFC East. Down to Philadelphia he goes. Three-year deal, $37.75 million. That's over $12 million annually, Scott, and the deal could be worth close to $47 million if it reaches that top level of what the value could be, only behind Christian McCaffrey. Saquon Barkley would be the second highest paid running back in the history of the NFL. For a guy that could not secure a long-term deal with the New York Giants an offseason ago, to potentially be the second highest paid running back by a divisional rival, it will be some sour grapes, but Saquon Barkley makes a big splash joining Philadelphia, and the Eagles offense got a whole lot better in my estimation.
Oh, absolutely, right? You know, and here's the weird thing about it all. You know, it's the Giants to me that don't have a whole lot on offense or defense, right? I mean, who are you paying? Daniel Jones, okay, you're paying him $40 million, but who else are you spending money on that team? Nobody, which means to me, you know, you could have gone the extra mile to keep Saquon Barkley. Philadelphia's got the big contracts with Jalen Hurts and everybody else, right? A.J. Brown, but somehow or another, they were able to squeeze in his $13 million a year salary. So it's funny, you know, all these teams that lost running backs all went cheaper. Well, a lot of them anyway. You know, the Giants said, okay, we don't want Saquon, but we do need a running back, so we go get Devin Singletary. I mean, why are the Giants pinching pennies? I'm not surprised he went there, Ben. Joe and I were talking about it last week when you were out of day.
Yeah.
I predicted he was either going to go with Dallas because they were going to lose Pollard, or Philadelphia, or Washington, or even the New York Jets. I said he's going to go to some team that the Giant fan is not only going to be ticked off that he's not on their team anymore, he's going to go to a rival, and he lands in Philadelphia. I thought that was a great deal for the Eagles.
Yeah, I did as well. And I mean, listen, for Philadelphia, if you have the investment to spend on building an explosive offense, you can make that move. The New York Giants did not feel that was the case with Saquon Barkley. For whatever reason, we'll talk about where the Giants did spend in just a little bit. But Scott, for the running back position, it is really tied to the value put in to a contract, to a deal, to a salary. We will see if Saquon Barkley lives up to potentially being the second highest paid running back in National Football League history. But you get those deals when you are a Saquon or a run CMC, when you can also be an outstanding pass catcher out of the backfield. The distinction between the Cowboys and the Eagles in the NFC East is where we saw the most movement. Now it's only 20 cents, plus 115 for Dallas, plus 135 for Philadelphia. Again, the Cowboys won the division a season ago. It's the weird quirk in the NFC East. We have not seen a repeat divisional champ in nearly two decades, not since 2004. Love the move for the Eagles. We'll see if the money matches the production. We talked about DeAndre Swift and Tony Pollard. Another surprise at the running back spot yesterday, Scott, after we signed off the airwaves on FFC. Josh Jacobs headed to Green Bay. Four-year, $48 million deal to join the Packers alongside Jordan Love. And there was a brief, probably half-hour span when Green Bay faithful were putting on the cheese heads and saying, we've got the best 1-2 punch in the backfield in the National Football League. Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones, only for the Packers to release Aaron Jones, who had spent all 7 years of his NFL career in Green Bay. He was released yesterday. Didn't take him long to find a new home. Early this morning, the report from the Athletic's Diana Russini, Aaron Jones going to the Minnesota Vikings on a 1-year, $7 million deal. A lot of interdivision crossover at the running back spot.
Yeah, as I mentioned, another team that, okay, they basically trade Aaron Jones for Josh Jacobs, right? Cincinnati made a move as well. I was surprised at that. Is he Josh Jacobs that much better than Aaron Jones? I guess they, Jones is not the guy you hand the ball on third and one, right? But you can do that with Josh Jacobs, and Jacobs can be more Aaron Jones than Aaron Jones can be Josh Jacobs. So you get the deal done. Raiders didn't want to redo the Josh Jacobs deal, so that makes me a little concerned since they need a running back. I'd be a little leery on that. Didn't have as good a year last year as he had 2 years ago, but maybe with the big time bucks, that'll make him happy. And there you go. That's to me, it's an even wash, but I guess Josh Jacobs is a little bit better, but not, in my eyes, not that much.
Yeah, I don't really know if there's a considerable improvement at the running back spot between Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones. It's going to be year number 5 in the NFL for Josh Jacobs, a little bit older than that, or younger, excuse me, than that of Aaron Jones. But Aaron Jones, he has played his last snaps as a Packer, went out swinging. His final 5 games, 3 in the regular season to lead the Packers into the postseason, and 2 tremendous games in the playoffs, each, all 5, with at least 108 rushing yards. So it is interesting to see the move from Aaron Jones, who is going to be that vital piece and also a great pass catcher out of the backfield for Jordan Love. But with the moves for the Vikings, Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta. They do add Sam Darnold, 1-year, $10 million deal. The Vikings draft 11th right now in the 2024 NFL draft. I believe J.J. McCarthy is going to be the new quarterback in the Twin Cities. They might even move up to make that move. But the next big move for Minnesota is to hold on to Justin Jefferson. The Bears have made their moves. We expect Caleb Williams to be the new quarterback in Chicago. And of course, the Lions remain the favorites in this division. The NFC North, Scott, to me, one of the most compelling divisions in football next year.
Yeah, I you could almost make the case the AFC South or the NFC South has gotten a little bit better. I mean, I don't know what we're going to get out of Minnesota. Sam Darnold, really? Is he going to be their starting quarterback? Detroit and Minnesota are basically going to be holding up, or Detroit and Green Bay are going to be holding up the flag for that division.
when you look at the Vikings right now, longest price of the four at plus 550. I don't believe it's that low of a floor, though. J.J. McCarthy to go to Minnesota right now on FanDuel, plus 230, a number I would pay attention to. More Football Full Circle next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. We keep looking around the big offensive moves yesterday as NFL free agency began. Officially, it doesn't really start until tomorrow when the league year begins around the NFL for 2024. The legal tampering window did begin at noon Eastern time. And as Scott and I have both said, I bet you those burner phones that cannot be tracked were burning up over the weekend with calls between league offices and front offices around the National Football League and players and agents. So, Scott, as we stay on the offensive side of the football, so much focus on the running back position this offseason. A lot of the big names were not tagged. Saquon Barkley, now an Eagle. Josh Jacobs, now a Green Bay Packer. Austin Eckler, now a member of the Washington Commanders. And as we go around, Derrick Henry still awaits his new home. Tony Pollard added in Tennessee. We talked about Aaron Jones being released. He is now a Minnesota Viking. 1 year deal, $7 million. Late last night, Scott, we got word that Cincinnati, after signing former Colts running back Zach Moss to a 2 year, $8 million deal, was releasing Joe Mixon. And then just about 45 minutes ago, not a release, Joe Mixon being traded to the Houston Texans after Devin Singletary goes to the New York Giants to fill in the role of Saquon Barkley. A lot of moving spots, but the Bengals not releasing Joe Mixon. They are, in fact, trading him to the Texans.
Do we know what they got for him? I'd be curious to find out, you know, if you're set to release him. Maybe a sixth round pick, maybe a conditional fifth round pick. This guy was a 1,000-yard rusher last year, right? I mean, I know they think they upgraded their running back position. Maybe they did, but it's not like the guy wasn't any good last season, right? He ran for 1,000 yards. You just re-signed him the year before. I don't think he necessarily did anything that would make them say, okay, we need to move on from him, but clearly they are. They get Zach Moss on the cheap for $4 million. Moss filled in nicely when he had the opportunity to play last year. I get that, but that to me is an even wash as well. You know, I kind of considered him one of the core four in Cincinnati with Burrow and Chase and maybe T. Higgins. I'm a little surprised with that, Ben. I mean, but if you get Moss, I guess they just wanted to move on from Mixon.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised as well. Joe Mixon, a guy a lot like Aaron Jones, who had spent all 7 years with the franchise that drafted him. Aaron Jones, a fifth-round pick out of UTEP way back in 2017. Joe Mixon, a second-round pick out of Oklahoma that year as well. Zach Moss is a guy that comes at a discount. We thought there might be some chatter around Joe Mixon an offseason ago. Scott, I couldn't find anything. I don't think the trade details are actually out yet. I can't imagine it is more than a day three pick. That would be rounds four through seven in the NFL. At least that's my estimation at this moment. Scott, the Raiders made a lot of moves yesterday. They add Gardner Minshew, 2 year deal, $25 million, 20 of that 25 fully guaranteed. That's the offensive side of the ball, and we'll go there to begin. There was a thought, Scott, that the Atlanta Falcons would be in the running for Justin Fields in the trade market. Nope, they signed Kirk Cousins. If it wasn't going to be Atlanta, maybe Las Vegas would make some calls. There was some early chatter about that before they inked the deal with Gardner Minshew. So let's start with Gardner now in Las Vegas. It's going to be a quarterback battle at this moment, it would seem. The Raiders do have the 13th overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft between Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. What did you make of the move for Las Vegas?
It's kind of interesting, right? I mean, they also have Jimmy G still on their roster. Now, it doesn't appear like they want to keep him, but he is still there. I mean, and
he is suspended
still there
as well.
Now, but, and yet, right, he's suspended. Yes. What was it, four games, I think it is, for the first four games, whatever it is. So they have. So you got Gardner Minshew and a new head coach, and maybe the new head coach says, you know what, I believe in you more than the old head coach. And you got Aiden O'Connell, and now you got Gardner Minshew, and you got that top 15 pick that, you know, realistically you could use to go get yourself a quarterback or move up a little bit. So you got four options there. I kind of like the Patriots' Jacoby Brissett 1 year, $8 million, more than I like the Gardner Minshew Raiders 2 years, $25 million. Hey, listen, did it do a nice job with the Indianapolis Colts? Yep, but final game of the regular season, they had a chance to make the postseason at home against Houston, and he and the Colts laid an egg. So what do you do? You're going to live in purgatory with a better version of Aiden O'Connell? Do you do this to bottom out, Ben, and just, you know, really go get yourself a top five pick the following year? I don't think that's the goal. So you're going up against the best quarterback in the NFL, maybe of all time, in Pat Mahomes. You're going up against Justin Herbert, and you're going to throw Gardner Minshew at him. All right. Good luck, Raiders. Good luck.
Yeah.
And you lose your best running back.
Yeah. Then that is something. A lot of belief in Zamir White, who they drafted out of Georgia, I believe, either 2 years ago or maybe even longer than that. But, Scott, it is interesting because the Raiders don't have the most optimistic outlook, 10-1 right now to win the AFC West, a division that for the last 8 years has been controlled by Kansas City. If there's a team to knock the Chiefs off the perch, it would probably be the LA Chargers, but we've said that now for the past 3 to 4 years. I have much more belief in Jim Harbaugh in Los Angeles than I do for Brandon Staley. Oh, by the way, the Chargers add Gus Edwards yesterday. He leaves Baltimore, now in Los Angeles, reunites with his former OC with the flock. That is Greg Roman, now the offensive coordinator for the Chargers. With that all being said, Scott, as it pertains to the Las Vegas Raiders, I'm not sure Gardner Minshew is the answer. I don't think he's really the answer beyond maybe 7 wins next season. But I do think the Raiders will be in the market to either trade up with that 13th overall pick to maybe go after a J.J. McCarthy, or move that pick back and maybe either wait on a Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix, or just give up the pick and add a lot of trade assets as well. I will say this, though, Scott. The Raiders do add Christian Wilkins on the other side. 4-year deal, $110 million. Those big interior defensive linemen having themselves a nice payday. Christian Wilkins spent all 5 years of his NFL career in Miami. He now adds to a fearsome defensive front alongside Max Crosby. Wilkins coming off a career year of 9 sacks last season for the Fins.
Yeah, team up with Max Crosby and company. I mean, maybe the Raiders are just saying, you know what, we're going to have to win this division on defense. You know, we're never going to have someone better than Mahomes, and it's going to be very unlikely we'll ever have anybody any better than Justin Herbert. So you know what, we're not going to outduel them. So let's go on the defensive side of the ball. Maybe that's their approach. But it's you got defensive head coach too, and Antonio Pierce, right? So from that standpoint, it's a lot of money though. As a Dolphin fan, was he good last year? Yeah, Christian Wilkins. Yeah, okay, he was fine, you know, but wow, $85 million guaranteed, 4 years, $110 million. Yeah. That's a lot of money. That's 25+ million that, you know, you're basically locked into. He better be really good for that kind of dough.
Yeah, and he was last year. We'll see if he will be this year as well. At least if you're Gardner Minshew or whoever the Raiders end up with, the QB, Davante Adams remains in Las Vegas at this point, and there's a lot of belief in Antonio Pierce. But probably the biggest move yesterday, Scott, on the defensive side of the football, as this free agency frenzy began around the National Football League, that would be Brian Burns. The Panthers placed the tag on Burns before the deadline exactly 1 week ago today. They did not give him a long-term deal, and then they tagged him and traded him to the New York Giants. In return, the Panthers get a second round pick and a fifth rounder as well, and the Giants end up paying Brian Burns a huge deal. 5-year deal, $150 million, more than 87 mil, close to 88 guaranteed. Brian Burns now the second highest paid defensive end or edge rusher in the National Football League. And maybe Brian Burns isn't the defensive end, edge rusher, pass rusher that that you would highlight first and foremost. But a lot of that comes from playing in Carolina for the 5 years of his NFL career. In that five-year span, Scott, never less than 7.5 sacks, had a career best year in 2022, 12.5. Last year, only 8 sacks. But his 46 sacks in the last 5 years ranked top 15 in the National Football League. And Burns admitted, hey, I put on a pretty bad team that was often trailing. Had we been ahead in the fourth quarter and I could have pinned my ears back, we're probably talking 2, 3, 4 additional sacks per year. The Giants, in my estimation, get one of the best under-the-radar edge rushers in the National Football League, and he was paid as such.
Yeah, you think about this, Ben. Take a step back, right? The Carolina Panthers have now traded arguably the best offensive player in the NFL in Christian McCaffrey, and maybe not the best, but certainly one of the best defensive players in the NFL in Burns, and yet they couldn't get a first-round pick for either one of them. I mean, I don't know what's going on in Carolina. You know, I didn't believe these stories last year, but I will throw it out there. I remember reading where Carolina was offered 2 first-round picks for Burns, and they said no. Now, I don't know how that could be last year, and then, you know, he's not like he's in his 30s here, and now all of a sudden they can't even get 1 first-round pick for him. I mean, I don't know. What are we doing if you're a Carolina Panther fan? Are we in the business to win or not? I mean, listen, if you bring back 2 first-rounders, then it's like, okay, I see that. Let's move on. We need a whole bunch more here, so let's do it. But to not even be able to get a number one – keep the guy, you know, give him the money that he wants. Who are you paying on that team? This is what you can do when you have a rookie quarterback, when you don't have a quarterback making $40 to $50 million a year. What's going to happen when you do get one? You're never going to be able to keep these guys or seemingly have the desire to keep these guys. That's a bad signal around the NFL. You know, if you want to attract people to your franchise because you think you're turning things around, you don't do stuff like that yesterday.
Yeah. No, you do not, Scott. And I'll have more to say about the Carolina Panthers in just a moment. But what's the reason to have a temperamental owner who has already fired 3 coaches in 5 years? If he has all of those swings in emotion, at least he has a big pocketbook as well. Why have the temperament if you are not going to back it up with the money? We'll talk about the Panthers up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on FFC. It is Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. Scott, I said before the break I would have much more to say about the Carolina Panthers. I believe what David Tepper is doing to this team is as bad as it gets from an ownership perspective. He is known as a very wealthy man who was even fined last year by the National Football League for throwing a drink on a fan. If you are going to act out of pocket, at least spend out of your very hefty pocket as well. He is not. He is letting people go. They have added some offensive line help, I should say. Robert Hunt, former Dolphins offensive guard, 5-year, $100 million deal. But what has happened to this Carolina team in the last few years is really as bad as it gets. You let Christian McCaffrey go to San Francisco. You do not let Brian Burns go for what was a reported trade offer 2 years ago, Scott, after Matt Rhule was fired, which was 2 first-round picks and a second rounder that the LA Rams reportedly offered. Instead, it's a second round pick and a fifth round pick for Brian Burns to go to New York. The Giants willing to spend on Brian Burns. David Tepper was not. And Scott, when you look at the odds, Super Bowl 59, the Panthers by far have the longest price, 300-1. That is nearly more than double the team with the second longest price, the New England Patriots, at 170-1. Without a doubt, Scott, Carolina is going to have the lowest win total of teams entering the 2024 NFL season. If it is 4.5, I'm going to bet the under. If it is 3.5, I'm still probably going to bet the under.
Yeah. I mean, how can they win, right? Unless, you know, Bryce Young makes a great stride this second year. I mean, they fired head coaches in his first year, not even done his first year, you know, in Frank Reich. They fired the general manager. Clearly, they blame him for taking Bryce Young and not C.J. Stroud. Then they trade a player, as we talked about here, that, you know, supposedly they could have gotten a boatload more last year. And if they knew last year his number and they knew that in their mind they weren't going to pay him, then, you know, I don't know what they expected this year. Might as well just traded him last year then and got more draft choices. And now you trade him away and you don't even get a first-round pick. You get a lousy second-round pick, albeit a high second-rounder with the Giants, but still it's a second-rounder and a fifth-rounder. I mean, yeah, the big splash. I'm going to go buy season tickets to the Carolina Panthers because they go sign the guard from the Miami Dolphins, albeit a good guard. I'm disappointed he left, but... You know, that's not exactly how you win fans over as a new owner coming in and promising all these changes and a whole much success. And it just hasn't happened. So, but that team is just disastrous, right? But listen, the only caveat I'll say is we thought that about the Houston Texans last year with the worst record in the NFL, and they made the postseason. So maybe there's a miracle turnaround in Carolina. I doubt it, but maybe.
Listen, I hope for the sake of Bryce Young's young NFL career and for Dave Canales, who's about to be the first-time rookie head coach in Carolina, I wish them the best. But if you are Bryce Young, you found yourself, despite being the number one overall pick, maybe in the worst possible situation that you could be in. More moves around the NFL, Scott, yesterday. The Packers had a good day. They get Josh Jacobs, a weird day releasing Aaron Jones, but add Xavier McKinney, a safety from the New York Giants, who had spent all 4 years in New York, and the production was certainly there for McKinney. The Vikings, after letting go of Kirk Cousins, as we said, they add Sam Darnold, who I think is going to be in a quarterback battle with whatever rookie quarterback the Vikings end up taking, and they will probably be giving the football off to Aaron Jones a decent amount. But they also added Jonathan Greenard, an edge rusher from Houston, who had a career best year a season ago, 12 and a half sacks. I think the Vikings are making some moves again. They're going to trail in the division. They have the fourth and longest price to win the NFC North, but I'm intrigued by what Minnesota is doing. Of course, next up is a long-term deal for Justin Jefferson. And I mentioned the offensive guard, Robert Hunt, 5-year, 100 mil with Carolina. Also, the Eagles extended their fourth-year guard, Landon Dickerson, 4-year deal up to $87 million. That makes him the highest paid guard in NFL history. Those interior offensive linemen, Scott, we're starting to see the uptick in their salary and what it looks like on an annual basis. Just something to note as we go around the National Football League.
Yeah, and the Vikings also got Van Ginkle from the Miami Dolphins, who had actually, you know, halfway decent year last year. I mean, he was pretty, you know, a solid linebacker for the Dolphins. So they did well. You know, I think the main thing is that they have to do something now to convince Justin Jefferson entering his fifth year that this is our team and we're going to get better and we're not giving up on the season or this or that. You know, we're going to go get ourselves a quarterback, and somewhere along the line they're going to have to, right? They can't have Sam Darnold as their starting quarterback. I doubt that. But, you know, they made enough moves yesterday to keep themselves in the fire or near the fire. Now they just need a leader, and I don't know who that'll be. I'm also curious to see where Derrick Henry winds up. You know, not with the Vikings, clearly, I wouldn't think, since they got Aaron Jones, but that's another little topic we could delve into. Maybe the Baltimore Ravens, they lose Gus Edwards. Boy, he'd be like a perfect fit, right? Battering ram, give him the ball 15, 20 times a game. Yeah, I mean, that would be... That's where I got a feeling he's going to end up.
Yeah. There are still some names, Scott, some big names out there, at least recognizable and notable names, that do not have a new place of employment just yet. Derrick Henry being front and center. He's a little bit older than the rest of the running backs we have mentioned. He is getting close to 30, if he's not already 30 years old. And then another name who is not a free agent, but we thought, as free agency started to unfold and some availabilities would be there at the quarterback spot, we talked about Justin Fields earlier. It seemed the Falcons the Steelers and the Raiders were the most likely spots that we had heard maybe some rumors and some speculation that would be interested in Justin Fields. Of course, Russell Wilson signing with Pittsburgh on over the weekend. Then we had the Atlanta Falcons inking the big deal with Kirk Cousins yesterday, and the Raiders adding in Gardner Minshew. Pretty much seeming as though the market for Justin Fields is not as robust as we maybe once thought, Scott. And I wonder what the market still looks like for Fields if and when the Bears start to make those moves on dealing him.
Yeah, it really isn't. You know, I don't say this too often, Ben, but I might be wrong. just because it never happens that often. but they may not get the number one I thought for sure they were going to get. I mean, the teams that, you know, need quarterbacks are all in a position draft-wise to go get themselves a quarterback, whether it's Washington or New England. They don't need to trade for Justin Fields unless they thought Justin Fields was better than what they could draft. So the market is drying up. I don't know if the Bears were just holding out for first-round picks that they never were going to get, and now they got caught, you know, holding the bag. I don't think for a second they realistically want him on this team if they're going to draft another quarterback, which, you know, clearly they're going to, right? Otherwise, they would have told the world, no, we're keeping Fields. So that may turn into an ugly, weird situation. Could you actually keep Fields on your team? Are you going to trade him? I mean, listen, the Patriots, you know, got what, a sixth-round pick, you know, and that's only for Mac Jones, and that's probably only because Mac Jones is from Jacksonville, and they said, yeah, okay, we'll bring the guy home. So, you know, and he was drafted, what, 12th? You know, Fields a little bit higher, obviously, but maybe they won't get a first-round pick. Maybe it'll be like a third, fourth-rounder, and it might be, more importantly than that, it might be Ben for a team that says, all right, we're going to bring you in, but you're not going to be our starter. You know, we're going to put you on the bench. You know, we'll give you a contract like a Sam Darnold or whatever, and then you back up whoever, and your days of starting, at least for us, are over.
Yeah, that's where it's really interesting to me, Scott. Is there still an investment that Justin Fields could be a starting quarterback entering his fourth year? I thought so. I agree with you. I wasn't sure exactly what the return or the trade package would look like back to Chicago. Now, one of my really good friends, Scott, is a native of Chicago, a diehard Bears fan, is in the weeds with everything. He told me yesterday, as we were kind of just discussing, you know, in our group text with a couple of our friends when all the NFL free agency news started to begin, that there were some reports out of Chicago with the beat writers that he follows that the Bears hadn't really started any negotiations yet for Justin Fields. They weren't really calling anybody, which we all found very interesting. Why is there a lack of proactive nature in trying to ship away who we all agree, Scott, could be a valuable asset to somebody else and could lead you to more draft assets as we get things going here? I don't think it means by any means, I should say, that Justin Fields is going to remain in Chicago and he will be kept in favor of Caleb Williams. That's not how I took it. I just find it interesting that there really isn't a lot out there at the moment. It would seem to be a backup role with a starter who is certainly a little bit more secure and in place. A couple of quarterbacks that have made some moves. Jameis Winston, Scott, now going to the Cleveland Browns. He will be the backup, we would assume, for Deshaun Watson. And Jameis Winston, after most of his career in Tampa, the last few years in New Orleans, is now signing with the Cleveland Browns for reportedly a one-year deal worth about $8.7 million. He will be the reserve in Cleveland. But Deshaun Watson's not necessarily in the most solid footing, I would say, with this Browns organization. There might be some chances for Jameis Winston in the land.
Maybe. You know, he's a strange case, right? But he never really got his second chance. You know, Jacoby Brissett signing with the Patriots, if he ends up being a starter, he's had about five opportunities to be a starting quarterback for a team and have success, and he hasn't been able to really have any kind of serious success. You know, some limited. But Jameis never, you know, he had that monster year in which he threw a ton of interceptions as well. He had a couple, you know, with Tampa Bay, but he never got that second I thought he was going to do it with the New Orleans Saints, but I guess he just never showed Saints folks that, you know, he was good enough to lead that team for the long haul. And now he's in another backup situation. Maybe he'll get some playing time. Who knows, depending on what happens with Watson. But, you know, he's signing as a backup. Like, there wasn't even a team that brought him in and said, all right, you know what, you'll compete for a starting job. Well, why not? You know, you'll be our Gardner Minshew. We'll let you compete, and maybe you can beat our guy out. But he never got that opportunity.
Yeah. We'll see if he does in Cleveland. Of course, it was Joe Flacco, the reserve, that led the Cleveland Browns to the postseason in an opening round defeat against the Houston Texans. Ryan Tannehill out there at the quarterback spot as well. Marcus Mariota signed earlier this morning with the Washington Commanders, leaving behind the Philadelphia Eagles. Might there be a reserve spot to back up Jalen Hurts in Philly? That we shall see as well. Those are some of the big names that are still available. On the defensive side, you can look at Chase Young as one of the edge rushers, a good home stretch with the San Francisco 49ers. Patrick Queen, one of the anchors at the linebacking core for the stout Baltimore Ravens defense a season ago, is on the open market as well. There will be, Scott, plenty more moves to come in the next 12, 24 hours when the league year officially starts tomorrow afternoon. That's when you can officially sign the dotted line. But, of course, we're getting the breaking news updates, it seems, virtually every minute, every hour. That was the case with the flurry we saw at the start of yesterday.
Yeah. If you really look at the teams, Ben, the only two I say that for Fields is Minnesota and Denver. Back to him for a second. And I don't think the Bears would ever trade him to a division team. Other than that, if you look at it, you know, the Denver Broncos would be the only one. Giants, maybe, if they really wanted to part ways with Danny Nichols, as I like to call them. But otherwise, you know, Washington and New England, those teams are all in position to draft guys. So to me, it's the Broncos or bust, I think, for Justin Fields. Or, he's, you know, it'll be a backup.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe he could fill in somewhere as a backup, or maybe competing for a starting job. But as Scott mentioned, there's not many spots on the board that don't have a favorable draft position that would probably look to the future instead of Justin Fields. You never know how the NFL works out. It's a long offseason. We're back on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Oh. Scott, do you have Derrick Henry's phone number? Are you guys talking in a group chat or something? Because right before the break, we were talking about some of the big names still available in free agency. And Scott said, with Gus Edwards heading to Los Angeles to join the Chargers, with Derrick Henry still looking for a home, might the bruising running back going to the Ravens make a lot of sense? And boom, in the last 5 minutes, there it is. Derrick Henry now expected to play for the Flock. He tweeted it himself, Flock Nation, I swear it's up. That was literally 10 minutes ago. Henry gets a two-year, $16 million deal that can be worth up to $20 million with $9 million of that guaranteed. That just seems to be a natural fit, Scott, in my estimation, Derrick Henry in Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking, he's at the magical age of 30. I get that, but right. He did run for well over 1,100 yards last year on a bad, you know, Tennessee Titans team, which had no passing game whatsoever. That boy on the paper, that is a terrific move, right? The way they like to run the football and everything, that is a great, great move. I like that a lot. Yeah, it made all the sense in the world. It's a rare time where something that made sense actually happened.
He's 30 years old. There's no doubt about that. But he did play in all 17 games last year, started all 17 of them as well. He will only be 30 years old, by the way, with a birthday in early January for a good duration of 2024. I mean, if the Ravens make a deep run, he'll turn 31 for the postseason. For the last 5 years, Derrick Henry has led the NFL in carries. That is still the case going back to a season ago. 280 and 1,167 yards on the ground, still 12 rushing touchdowns. He has had double-digit rushing scores since his third year in the league. That's now now six consecutive years back in 2018. He will not be expected to be the back that he was in Tennessee, but he is going to make a difference for the flock. Really like that move for Baltimore. Lamar Jackson with some speed and burst and Derrick Henry alongside. It just looks like a natural fit for the flock. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Football Full Circle starting at noon Eastern.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.